You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Doc Rivers last night on Kobe's passing.
You know, I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that very few athletes can ever have, you know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans, you know. It's funny, I was getting to know him more since he retired, you know. This is a tough one. We have to go play. The news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family, and there's just so many people he touched, you know. And you know, it's looking at my young players and seeing how emotional they are. They didn't even know him, you know, and it just tells you how far his reach was. So, this is just shocking news for all of us. And sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play again.
An incredibly emotional Doc
Rivers. I don't
think
I want to hear any more abuse tossed at Doc Rivers.
No.
I mean, he's always been a good guy by any measure. He wears it where you can see it because he's not ashamed of it. And to me, that's just admirable. It's just admirable. And it's not because we want to see tears. It's because he's sort of the embodiment of how much Kobe Bryant meant to the other people in the fraternity. I mean, and that's why you haven't heard from the Lakers yet. And that's why they don't feel like playing tomorrow night. It's that maybe Kobe Bryant at age 31 would have said, well, we got to play. But not everybody's Kobe Bryant. And I think that's what we're learning, is that their admiration for him is at least in small part because he sort of had this sort of superhuman drive that separated him from everybody else. That, you know, he would have been the guy who said, oh, no, we got to play. And everybody else is, yeah, maybe you can, but we can't play without you. So we're not.
We got an awful lot more sound to play from around the NBA, some from yesterday, some stuff coming in fresh. We'll get to that in just a moment. Patrick Granite Bay, you're on 95.7 The Game. Patrick, hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
We were blessed when the Kings came to Sacramento so we could all see our idols play basketball. Kobe Bryant, when I first saw him on the court, was amazing. And we need to mourn. 9 souls were killed. They didn't pass away. His family, all those families, no one had time to say, okay, this person is going to be leaving us. And I've heard, you know, so many go, we watched him and we hated him as he beat our team. Well, coming from a father that was an All-American athlete, I was raised, you admire the athletes of all sports. They do their best. They leave the rest. Angels do no more. And it just breaks my heart. I watched him up here. I watched all of the greats. I don't want to put them in order. Watching it in Los Angeles, he was taken. They were all taken way too early. And it's just, it's horrible. And I just pray that people will understand that his family, the families need to mourn. It's a hospice moment. I mean, they didn't have time. They're grieving. They're numb. We're all numb. I hope, I know the world is numb, and nobody should look at this. No one has any right to say anything bad about any of them, including Kobe Bryant, unless they walk on water.
Patrick, thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate your words. Well said all the way around. And there are people who just love to steal, you know, there are a lot of people who want to make this moment about them. It's not about you. It's about the victims and what is left. And you're right. Kobe Bryant did not pass away. He was suddenly and tragically killed with eight others. Passing away suggests some goodbyes were said, and this is just all so sudden. We began the show with, I thought, Ray, your observation about the suspicion of TMZ being the source of the breaking news. I, like you, did not share any suspicion in them having an element, the biggest element of the story, right. And they didn't pass along any details other than Kobe crashes dead. And they are more often right than wrong. And I thought, if TMZ's got it, it's true. And that's what's really scary. And then I did take it a step further and thought, if this is how I'm finding out, I really hope it's not how Vanessa Bryant is finding out, or anyone who knew anyone in that helicopter. There is an overzealous media that wants to have it first. And media in the past would make sure family members, direct family members, had been contacted before news like this goes public. We no longer live in that time. We live in a time where, you know, your job might be in jeopardy if you didn't go public with this as soon as you knew you had it. And it's just a different landscape. But I just, you know, there was so much misinformation among nuggets of horrifying reality. You know, Rick Fox had died. All of Kobe's daughters were on the airplane. There was a staggering amount of misinformation. But I certainly hope that this information did not reach any of the living survivors of the victims of this entire crash through social media. And you know it did.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, again, I've thought about Vanessa an unbelievable amount since this happened, and that's just an impossible to consider extra stab
There's no good way to find this out, but there's definitely worse ways,
yeah, and that is one of them. Also, though, I retweeted someone saying this yesterday, that it is really scary to me that we now live in a world where TMZ is more responsible than major news outlets, that they confirm their information more competently and credibly than the race to be first has sunk into new lows.
Well, all right, I'm going to say this, because we have no evidence that TMZ found out about this before the Bryant family. The only thing we actually know is that they reported it to the world before the Bryant family reacted publicly to it. So we really don't know what the Bryant family knew before TMZ reported it. I'm also not sure that, and I've been playing at the journalism game for a long time, I do not remember a point at which, if you came upon a tragedy, that reporters were the ones who contacted the families to give them the news. Now, there were people who had to go and talk to the families after, but at no time do I ever remember informing the family to be the journalist's responsibility.
No, but you probably used to turn in an article to an editor who would make sure that these dots maybe had been connected before we pressed print on tomorrow morning's edition.
Which I understand. No, I'm talking about the TMZ report. I'm not talking about the wildly erroneous tweets that came after.
There's two things. First of all, LA police specifically took a shot at TMZ for reporting the information before they could let the Bryants know what had happened. So yeah, I think we do know that happened. Secondly, I gotta say, that is unfortunate that that happened. Incredibly unfortunate. And like Damon was saying, it's unthinkable to be informed that way of your husband and child's death. But to me, it is far less irresponsible than major news outlets tweeting false information.
Yeah.
Like, that cannot happen. It can't happen.
We will take more of your calls. Thank you so much for being patient with us. We're going to get to you. So are the Niners playing in the Super Bowl this weekend, says a texter? Yeah, they are.
Yeah, it's like 7 days away.
Yeah, and we talked about it almost ad nauseum for a month leading up to them qualifying for the Super Bowl, and we will be all over it the remainder of this week. Have a sense of the moment, you precious jackass, you. 888-957-9570. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much for stopping on by. We're here to talk about life and death. That's what today is. You know, for the questions of why is this being exalted? Guy says, I lost a brother at the age of 41. Why do we mourn for someone we really don't know? Well, celebrities are people that you really don't know the best. You know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We don't have enough time to explain how fame works. And even though the connection is very much a one-way street for most people, it's real and tangible. You know, I think that one of the crazy things that has happened to me in my life on the radio, what I've realized in whatever bottom rung of fame we're all pretending to be on, fellas, it's amazing when someone comes up to you who's been listening to your show for many, many years, and because you have been on in their car, and, you know, like the radio is the only medium that you might consume while you're naked, right? Like, if you listen to the radio in the shower, it's very intimate. And that's our stupid relationships that we have with people that listen to us. People have been listening to us for a long time, and they feel like they know us. And in many ways, we really do. And when I meet them, I always feel terrible because I don't know anything about them. You know, I just know that they just told me that they listen and know me very well. And there is a false relationship. It's also very real and tangible, and it's why we all have jobs, and it's why I'm proud to do what I do.
It's why sports is a multi-billion-dollar business.
Yeah, and you know, this is a name that was ubiquitous on every continent.
I mean, not to disrespect anybody, but the easy answer to this is the reason we're talking about Kobe and not your buddy is because everybody knows Kobe, and because he's a part of the sports world, and talking about the sports world is what we do.
Right. We talked about Kobe for 20 years before he died suddenly, and we realized, oh, we'll never get to talk about him again.
Yeah. It's I don't understand really the need to do that a lot of people seem to have today.
I don't get it either. I do not understand why you would have a visceral reaction to people mourning and feeling a sense of grief together. I mean, I'm so happy that your life is so in tip-top shape that you don't feel emotions. Great for you.
I don't know if that's the way it works, though. I think what it is they have an anger about what happened to them, and they need to express it. And this is an avenue that just sort of hits them. I don't think it's a rational choice. I think it's they're angry that somebody they may or may not have admired some is essentially being lionized, and his friend isn't. It's a nature of the essential unfairness of life. And I get why people get angry about that and react in irrational ways. I'm sort of the viewpoint that, okay, feel that way. I don't think it's a thing where you go, gee, your life is empty. It's they have grief that they can't compartmentalize. And so it comes out sort of, you know, the way sunspots do, in wildly unordered and radically crazy ways.
Jim Barnett is going to join us in about 8 minutes. He called so many Warriors-Laker games, it's like he almost did a regular season for Kobe. He's called like 60-plus Warriors-Laker games throughout his career, which is, I don't know, getting close to an NBA regular season. Jim Barnett coming up in just a little bit. Until then, we say hello to you. This is Sean in Oakland. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm feeling I really don't understand what's going on right now. Just the simple fact that when did we ever forget that we are human? We're human beings. And a lot of people are just like, the hate that I'm hearing, it just don't make no sense. A man lost his life with his daughter. I got three daughters of my own that I love to death. My daughter was going through a situation with her sickness that I thought I was going to lose her. So I was crying every day and everything like that. So that just now what Kobe went through that crash, and for people being so inconsiderate by filming it and showing it on YouTube, and I'm seeing that I'm putting myself in his shoes, that what was his last thoughts going down with his kid in his arm, and it just made me cry. Like, you know, I thought I was going to lose my kid. So for people to call in and just disrespect this man's legacy, regardless of that situation in Denver, how can you say something like that when you got people like, I'm not really trying to go back and forth with this, but the simple fact of you got priests touching little boys and all this other stuff, but you're not having nothing to say about that, or the guy that killed that lady at the bar station. Nobody really protesting about that. But as soon as Kobe or Michael Jackson or anybody else passed away, all of a sudden everybody got a lot of stuff to say about their, oh, he did this, he did that. But come on, man. There's a lot of people out there doing stuff and we're not even hearing about it. And there's a lot of people that's cheating on their wives and constantly doing it and getting caught. But of course, they're not going to be ridiculed because they're not being shown in the public eye.
Right, they're not world famous. Sean, thank you. How's your daughter now, by the way?
Oh, she's good, man. She's healthy, and everything's a blessing right now.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. This is Nate in Carson. Hello, Nate. What have you got?
Hey, gentlemen. First time, long time. Grew up in SoCal. Dirt poor, never had a chance to go to any game. It was just a dream for us. But one thing we could always count on was Kobe going to the finals and hopefully winning us a ring so we can go see him on the at the parade. So we got a chance to do that just for about a quarter of his career. And moved to the Bay in 2016. Came, and the Bay was winning at all times. Had a winning culture, so I was used to that. Helped me adapt to moving to the Bay. The Warriors were winning, Giants, and even the Niners for a little bit. But it was just it helped me settle into this Bay Area because I came from the LA where we were winning everything. So when I came out here, I was used to it. I didn't really like the Warriors, but I was like, hey, at least they winning. So Mamba mentality. Warriors was providing them children a lot of, you know, opportunity to see the stars in the parade and just boost their morale and whatnot.
Nate, thank you very much. I mean, you see the tributes that are being laid at the entrance of Staples Center, and it is. You know, sports are the last place where communities get together. They really are. And it's like the last official public gathering. And the guy who was the epicenter of the reason why so many gathered is now gone in the blink of an eye.
It's interesting. John Canzano at the New Oregonian wrote a story about how yesterday Oregon and Oregon State played, and they're obviously longtime arch rivals, and they're playing a women's basketball game, and they all gathered before the game together and basically cried, prayed, did things that arch rivals don't do, and Kobe Bryant was the catalyst for that because they recognized that for the totality of his life, one of the things that he defended and was passionate about was women's basketball. So, yeah, I mean, this is not about one guy. That's the thing. It's not even just about nine people. It's about all the people those people touched.
And on Kobe in particular, and this is not specific to sports, it's perfectly reasonable to mourn someone you didn't know personally if they affected your life. And think of how much here and all over sports media we talk about how sports figures affect people, regular people, every day. You might take inspiration from them. You might see them as an icon or an example of what you want to be someday. There are any number of ways to take inspiration or something from a public figure. And so I
didn't know Prince. I didn't know David Bowie. Right. I mourned the both of their deaths.
Those people meant a whole lot to me. And I especially Prince and Bowie, for me, maybe even more so than Kobe, those were huge reverberations in my life. They were a huge part of me becoming who I wanted to be. And there's people who feel that way and stronger about Kobe Bryant. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not that it's not that his life is more precious or valuable than the other lives. It's just that because of who he was, because of his public facing life, more people were touched by him. And it's not a condemnation of anyone else. It's just, that's just the reality of it. And that's why he gets this conversation.
Jim Barnett had to push back 15 minutes. He'll join us at 4:45. In my lifetime, and I'm not saying that these things are all on equal footing. The only equal footing that I'm looking for in this group is I remember where I was when I heard the news. It's a short list. In my lifetime, here it is. The Space Shuttle Challenger explosion, Magic Johnson announcing that he has AIDS, OJ's white Bronco chase, 9/11, Michael Jackson's death, Prince's death, and Kobe Bryant's death. It's a short list. I'm not a Laker fan. I'm going to tell you that Jordan was better, but he's on the list. You know what I mean? It's Am I supposed to apologize for having him on my list? You know, people are allowed to like and care about what they like and care about.
Yeah, I'm the one thing that social media has emboldened people to do is judge other people's preferences. And it's one of the worst things about it, because your list is your list. It's personal to you, and you get to have it, and you get to have it the way you want to have it. My list is different in some ways because I've lived longer. I have other people on that list. But it makes my list no better than your list.
Exactly.
And the one thing that we have lost as a culture is the ability to say, okay, when you gave me your list, the only thing I could think of was, okay, it's your list. And you're entitled to it. It's literally every day is a referendum on what people believe about just things that are personal to them. And it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be that. I mean, just the reaction to Kobe Bryant has almost been universal sadness and empathy. That's a life well lived, even allowing for the times when he made you grit your teeth. Because everybody does that. Everybody has times when they're wrong about something or they're misguided about something. But if at the end of your life you make people happier for having known you or sadder that they won't know you anymore, you've done well. You've done what you've been asked to do as a living being. And if that's not good enough for you, the hell with you.
Coach JC in Concord. Hello, Coach.
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for allowing this opportunity for all of us to talk about what's happened and how we're feeling and our reactions. My thoughts go along, and I'm going to pivot on something you say at the end of your show all the time. Sports reveals character, and I'm not a fan of Kobe. I'm not a fan of the Lakers. But I admired him because not just in the basketball court, but also in life. Even with that one black mark in his life record, he was tenacious and he was passionate about living life. And that's what appealed to me. And that's why I admire him. He was tenacious. He was passionate about how he lived. And then, and we got to see that. We got to see it in how he was playing the game. And then later on in his life, how he was raising his kids. And he affected other sports and other nations. I don't know if you guys are aware, but in China, the Chinese just woke up and today, and they're in shock. They're dealing with it. The soccer sports world is in shock as well.
I just saw that they had a huge on-ice tribute to Kobe at the Vancouver Canucks game.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Neymar did something for him in the game yesterday.
Now, this is a man who crossed every border, imaginary and real.
Someone at the Australian Open apparently wore his jersey during a match.
It's a good thing he wasn't at Wimbledon. No, I mean, it's just, there are things about his life that make me cringe a bit. But on balance, he made people feel good. He did things for people. I mean, look, when somebody can make women's basketball players feel good about what they've done and what they've chosen, I don't know. What else do you want? I mean, how much? I mean, the idea, in fact, I'll tell you what. The idea when people describe him as a Laker, I get why they do it, but it so diminishes him because he had enough of a career after basketball to show you what he was doing, what he could do, what he would have been capable of doing if he'd gotten the other 30 years that you're supposed to get.
And therein lies the tragedy. We have people who work their entire lives in film. They don't even get to the Oscars, an invite. He dabbled in film and won an Academy Award in the blink of an eye. He was aggressively successful in everything. You want to talk a Midas touch?
But even if he doesn't win, and I'm not trying to be contentious, but even if he doesn't win an Oscar, even if it's just an ordinary film, his vision was, I want to conquer everything I can conquer. Yeah. I want to understand all the things I don't understand now. I mean, he was in publishing. I mean, just he was somebody who had the wherewithal to be more than a Laker. And in the time he was allotted, he was more than a Laker. He won. He won at life. Screw his points per game average. I mean, that's nice, but you know, he affected people's lives and for the good. If you need more than that, or if you have to hold on to little tribalisms that make you feel better, then you've missed it. You've just missed it.
There is someone who agrees with something that you and I were talking about during a commercial break, Ray, says that I remember where I was when I heard of the Payne Stewart tragedy. Mm. And how these really do mirror each other. I mean, Payne Stewart wasn't nearly as globally famous as Kobe was, but athlete in the prime, and obviously Kobe was retired, but Payne Stewart died in an aviation accident.
Wasn't Corey Lytle as well?
Yeah. His plane crashed into a building
in New
like
York.
An ultralight yeah. that he was flying. So this is similar to Buddy Holly, says one person. The day that rock and roll died, Sunday was the day basketball died.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, except that basketball didn't die. Basketball is being made better for all the people who have stood up and said, he helped make me who I am.
Right. Well,
the music didn't die either.
The music didn't die either. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie.
Well, one of the worst songs ever, but well, that's for another day.
It's probably
the point is
overly aggressive.
Don McLean,
you know,
McLean.
He advanced the art, and you see it every night. I mean, Damian Lillard had 50 last night, and he's as close to Kobe Bryant's sort of, you know, weird obsessive grasp of a game as there is in the game right now.
Did you see the incredible statistics from the Wizards-Hawks game? Granted, nobody played defense in that game.
Well, nor do they ever, but
fair enough. Trae Young took exactly 24 shots. He scored 45 points on those 24 shots, which if you... Shoot, I have to find the whole list, but there were things that added up to 81 and 24, and it was just a pretty incredible one of those things that how do all these numbers end up working out the way
right,
they
the,
do.
The numerology
right.
coming out of that game where, you know, it equals 81. By the way, since we just said 81, here's Jalen Rose on Kobe's passing.
Robin, Kobe Bryant embodied what I consider the best of both worlds. He was an assassin to compete against. He was a nightmare out on the floor. But he was also disciplined, intelligent, cultured, and well-read. There's no accident that he has two numbers retired at the Staples Center. And as somebody that lived in L.A. his entire career and also worked in the media and got a chance to work out with him at UCLA, play against him in the NBA Finals, and as you mentioned, play against him in that historic 81-point game and watch him score 60 points in his final NBA game, it just continued to push what dynamics of greatness Kobe Bryant had. And as a 17-year-old, when he said that he was going to be the greatest of all time, there were so many people snickering, but he got as close to Michael Jordan as anybody ever will.
Jeff in Sunnyvale. Jeff, thank you very much for holding. What do you got?
Hey, thanks for letting me call in. I just wanted to bring a point of view where I'm not necessarily a Kobe Bryant fan. I obviously respected his game because he was without a doubt the closest thing we ever got to a Jordan, and maybe still will ever be the closest thing we'll ever have to a Jordan. But I just want to try to help bring, a way to relate for some who might have a trouble to relate to this because, you know, music, we can leave music aside or entertainment aside. There's been plenty of famous people who have died for different reasons. So just keep this in the sports community. Whether you're a basketball fan or a football fan, or you could even be a fan of the Olympics, the X Games, wrestling, whatever, there's been athletes that have touched thousands of people, you know, like Junior Seau or even Dave Mirra, who's a BMX X Game legend, or Eddie Guerrero, a wrestler. There's just different athletes that touch different people all over the world. And if you can't relate because you're not a Kobe Bryant fan, there's still someone out there in the sports world that I'm sure you're a fan of. And if that person, you know, had a horrible accident like this, you would feel some type of way. And, you know, for people who are just want to talk about the Super Bowl, I get it. The Super Bowl is without a doubt the biggest event of any year, every year. But I guarantee you, if someone had a magic wand that said, hey, we can bring back all nine of those people's lives, and if we just cancel the Super Bowl outright, and no Super Bowl this year, but everyone's alive. But everyone will say, yes, sign me up. I mean,
of course, Jeff. I mean, the life and death or a football game, we'll choose as much life as possible. But I will say this. Super Bowl is a big deal. We're going to get to it. We're going to be all over it. We got 4 days of radio coming up, which means we're going to have plenty of chances to talk about this game. At no point in time when you're watching the game on Super Bowl Sunday will you say, you know, if only they had spent more time on this Monday on 95.7 The Game in the afternoons, would I really have been able to enjoy this game? It won't affect you at all. By the way, starting tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., the only way to hear this show is on 95.7 The Game stream on the radio.com app. That's where we're moving when the Warriors hit the air here because it's such a big week. We're going over to the stream. We'll be live on the stream from 3:30 to 6 o'clock, and we're sending one of our listeners and a guest to Fort Lauderdale, Florida this weekend. We're qualifying 5 people every hour on the stream only. The winner is going to receive round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, and 2 tickets to radio.com's The Night Before concert event starring the Zac Brown Band on Saturday night. The prize also includes a meet and greet with the band, all brought to you by Greater Fort Lauderdale, only 20 minutes from Hard Rock Stadium. Visit today at sunny.org. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got Jim Barnett, who's seen an awful lot of Kobe Bryant with his own two eyes in his career. He joins us next, and more of your calls if you're waiting on hold. It's a day where we got a lot of people waiting on hold, and if you can wait, we will get to you, I promise. Stay there, please. Join the line, 888-957-9570. Jim Barnett joins us next, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. One of the reasons why Jim Barnett is a gift here in the Bay Area is because the man brings so much perspective to every single broadcast he does. We are so happy to welcome in Jim Barnett here, Warriors color analyst, who called, as we counted, 67 regular season games of Kobe Bryant playing against the Warriors. That's almost a full season of Lakers basketball. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. You are a big part of the NBA family. It feels like everyone who's ever played in this league, your lives have probably intersected at some point. When is the last time your life intersected with Kobe Bryant?
Well, I guess it was his final year in the league, and I believe that was the 2016-17 season. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Damon.
No.
We're
really happy to have you here. It's just such a staggering day. There's not a lot that could prevent us from talking Super Bowl the week of when the Niners are in it, but here we are.
I know, and it's interesting because I was home last night, and I was listening to you guys a lot, 95.7, and even this morning before I left to get to the plane at SFO, it's you forget about the Super Bowl. We've forgotten about the Super Bowl for the last 30-plus hours, I guess. And I certainly never thought of the Super Bowl once last night. I have been thinking about it before, but this has taken, front and attention. And because of the technology we have today and all the information that is immediate, it overwhelms everybody, and so it permeates, obviously in L.A. initially, all up through California here, all across the United States and around the world now. Because after a while it gets to be larger than life. And, I have to say I was a 19-year-old sophomore at the University of Oregon on November 22nd, 1963, on my way to speech class when I heard someone yell across the quad that JFK had been shot. And, but to get the information, you go to Walter Cronkite on CBS TV at that time, I guess, but we're in class, so you never do it. And you get a little bit that night, some more, but you don't. It's all sketchy, and you have to read the paper the next day to get information. That's how it was. But today, it just spreads like wildfire, and it's so sobering because I just feel so sorry for his wife, and not only lose your husband, but you lose your 13-year-old daughter, and it's just tragic. It's just beyond comprehension, beyond words. I liked Kobe. I have to say he was very kind to me, always. I played with his dad here in Philadelphia. Here I am where, he started playing high school basketball at Lower Marion High School. And, they have a gym named after him. I know he was born over in Italy, and his dad was playing over there because he never really made it in the NBA. Joe didn't. So here we are, and I just – the first thing I think about is Kobe. I see his smile. When I think of Kobe Bryant, I see his smile.
As big as you knew he was, how overwhelmed have you been by the response, excuse me, outside basketball? It seemed like he transcended the game he was made famous by.
Yes. Well, it helps that he was in Hollywood. He was in Los Angeles. And so there's stardom down there. So he transcends the sport of basketball. And, of course, he's in the era of basketball was becoming, more entertainment. And so they coincide. And so they're calling him Mr. Laker. And that's a big thing when you talk about West and Baylor and Magic Johnson and even Shaq, who he played with there. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they're calling him the greatest Laker of all time. At least I've heard that at many sources, and I can't deny it. You play 20 years in the league, you do what he's done, and he was so driven. He was fiercely driven and fiercely competitive. We know that. That's how he was. That's how he played. He tore that Achilles tendon playing against the Warriors. I was right courtside when that happened and saw him walk to the free throw line and then take the free throws, and they fouled somebody so he could walk off the court without any assistance. He was, all the stories about him. I have to tell you, the thing that I remember and I'm not sure anybody's brought it up, but I don't know what year it was, but he was playing against the Warriors at home. They were with the open Coliseum, and it was, I mean, 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds, 3 seconds left in the game, and the Warriors were up by 3, I believe. I don't know, and we had fouled a Warrior player, or a Laker player, and I don't know who was at the free throw line. I do remember Eric Dampier was on the right side of the free throw line as a big man to block off in case the free throws missed. And Kobe was up top. He was not on the line at all, anywhere. He was up above the where you're supposed to be. And the first free throw was made. And so now they're down by 2. And I think there were less than 2 seconds left. I think it was like a second and a half. And Kobe got a running start. I don't know whether the free throw was missed on purpose or not. I would assume it was. But Eric Dampier, and now I'm going to get back to my anal tendencies about fundamentals. Eric Dampier, you know, on the right-hand side should slip in and take a step with his left foot to block off the man at the center who's right behind him at the line there, who's on line up the line, another big guy. But instead, he stood straight-legged, so you're off balance. He didn't bend his knees, and he stepped in with his right foot, which puts you in a very vulnerable position. And he got pushed under the basket. And Kobe got a running start and ran around the right side and took that gap and tipped in the missed free throw to tie the game. And it went to overtime, and the Lakers won the game in overtime. That's, you know, I've seen him shoot many, you know, jump shots and all these kinds of things. But I just remember I was thinking of that yesterday. That's the play that I remember that he made against the Warriors to put the game into overtime when it seemed impossible for them to even begin to get it in overtime and win the game. It took a series of events and fundamental, you know, chaos to this in order for this to happen. But that's Kobe, and he would make plays like that, and because he never gave up.
Fundamental chaos used to define the Golden State Warriors. Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game. Against 67 regular season games against the Warriors is what Kobe played. He had a 51-16 overall record, and at one point won 27 out of 30 between the years of 2006 and 2013. He averaged 27 points per game on 46% shooting. And one of the all-time classics, maybe the only time where the Warriors came out on top, Jim, is when Antoine Jameson and Kobe dueled to 51 each, and the Warriors went in double OT. How much do you remember that?
I remember that. It was really fun. I remember that because, and if I'm not mistaken, and I haven't looked all these up today because, you know, there's just so much. Antoine Jameson, I think it wasn't up in Seattle. Didn't he score 51 points? Did he score 51 points twice?
Back-to-back nights.
That's what I thought. And so, yes, that was a duel. And it was a, you know, I love that when an NBA game goes beyond 5-on-5 and it comes down to 1-on-1. And I've seen those games before. I've seen it with Tim Hardaway battling different people. Or Chris Mullin, you know, down in L.A. I remember when he got his 41. And playing against the Lakers and Magic and everyone. And that's what you see. And all you're doing is you're watching the team, but you're watching those individuals. And one would get a hoop, and then the other would answer. And then the other would get a – and it goes back and forth. And so there's a game within the game, and those are really fun. They're really, really fun. And of course, that's always been – you know, you'll get games like that throughout the history of the NBA. I don't remember shots necessarily. Damon, I don't remember, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say anything about games I play, but I don't remember any shots at all, but I do remember that they both got 51, and I knew that it was back-to-back with Antoine Jameson.
So, Jim, I don't know if you've had a chance to think about this at all. I'm not sure anyone really has, but I've seen a lot of ideas about potentially ways to honor Kobe Bryant. What do you think the right way for the NBA to approach that would be?
You know, Matt, I really haven't given it that deep a thought. I've been very upset. My daughter, who had met Kobe before, I met Kobe. I'm going to lead into that. I met Kobe. I'm not sure if it ever would have happened, but he came over to me. We were in Hawaii. We used to play exhibition games against the Lakers over there, a couple of games, and I don't know what year it was, but he'd been in the league maybe 3 years, maybe four, I don't know. And I had never talked to him, as I don't like to bother a lot of people, and I hadn't had cause to. And so, at any rate, he came, and we were back behind everything. There was no one around. And he came walking down my way, and lo and behold, he came up to me, introduced himself, and he watches basketball, and he basically, here's what he said. I remember exactly what he said. He said, "You talk ball. You talk basketball." And I thought that was a great compliment. He liked my commentary. And so from then on, we were kind of, you know, and I told him I played with his dad here in Philadelphia my last year in the league for a short period of time. I got picked up by the Sixers. And so I'm not going to say we had any big bond. I'm not going to be one of that. I wasn't. But he would give us interviews. He would only do national, as you know, Michael Jordan and people like that will do. They can't afford to do all the interviews for the local television, but he would do that for us. And so we would always come down to L.A., and we would get, you know, it was always at the sports arena there. We would get Kobe for an interview, and he accommodated. He was always kind. He was always courteous to me. And, you know, he knew that I'd played, and I would give him his space, of course, because I know what it's like. But it's not easy to talk to the media all the time like he does and did and had to do. So I don't know how they're going to honor, but I have to say I was delighted to see all those teams yesterday take it gets to me a little bit to see that those 24-second violations and then the 8-second violation in the backcourt. I thought that was great. I thought that was a great way to honor those players and how they thought of that. And, you know, I don't know whether it initiated initially from Greg Popovich, but I thought it was great. I don't know, you know, what they can do. Can they change the logo from the silhouette of Jerry West to Kobe Bryant? I that may be a little too much. But I do know that because of everything and how this has expanded, it's not going to die down soon. And they're, you know, obviously the next game between the Clippers and the Lakers has been canceled.
Postponed. Yeah.
And so I don't know what's in line, Matt. I don't know what's appropriate. But he is an icon. And the thing, first of all, the personal tragedy. And I know what it's like to lose a child because we lost our son when he was a year old. And there's nothing you can say to people about that makes up for anything. But for her, Vanessa, to lose her husband and a child to go along with it is just tragic. And it's hard to grip. It's hard to put, even today, it's hard to put, wrap your mind and your emotions around it. So it's, you know, premature for me to even speculate on how the hell they're going to honor him some way in the NBA, but I'm sure there will be something because I guess, you know, now he's become larger than life, but he was yet through with things. That's what he'd become, you know, now he'd become softer. He had become, and I've read so many articles, all the ones from the LA Times and Bill Plaschke and all the great things, you know, that you can read that they're very inspiring. But he was inspiring, and he was inspiring that he wasn't sitting around. You know, he could do anything he wanted to do. He could, you know, but he'd already gotten an Oscar and with animation movie, and he was going to do all kinds of things because he was driven, and he was having fun doing it. Of course, he was mostly enjoying his family and the girls, and they're going to have to go up without their father.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us and opening up the veins and sharing an awful lot with us, man. We really, really do appreciate it. We're lucky to be able to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Damon, thank you for having me on. And Ray, you and Matt, and take care, and I'll see you later on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game. And I'll tell you, OG could – or Kobe could spot the OGs and the real ones.
Yeah.
And Jim Barnett is indeed – just that. By the way, welcome one and all to our 5 o'clock.